Aloha, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Aloha.
Hi.
Hi.
Aloha.
All right. So it sounds like we're all excited to get going this morning. So let's go ahead and take a deep breath. Good. So breathe in your nose and out your mouth. Put your attention on the back of your throat and allow your belly to fill. Just let it get really big. And then when you exhale, you can let the stomach muscles just pull back to your spine and let all the air go out your mouth and keep breathing. We're going to go pretty deep today, so breath will help. We'll go ahead and align everyone to the new earth. So you can imagine yourself in the ascended space of the earth so that you can feel her and she can feel you. The universe is full of all kinds of things to connect to. So at this moment, I want you to connect to the source. That could be a star, it could be the moon, the sun, it could be some other planet, but the one that is exactly you. It could be God, it could be the universe, but I want to really refine that down to the most supportive line of energy for you, specifically. Now, I know some of you like to walk around the stars and the universe and other galaxies. I want you to be your human self for this. Grounded in your human body with all of its flaws and limitations, be willing to be here now. I was meditating on the pillars again today, as I'm, you know, in a learning process like we all are, and I saw them as a bit, you know, as a gateway, and holding the stability for where the spirit meets the soul. And in this case, I'm thinking of not any spirit that just floats around, but your source and the soul, the deep feminine nature of you. And the soul needs to express itself, but it's going to do that always in a safe, open way. There's certain conditions that need to set up for it to express. And so let's talk about that a little bit. If we see the spirit as our plumb line, our straight line, our vertical connection to source, dropping down through our crown all the way in to the earth and sort of holding us in that direction, we can see the feminine nature of our soul, ready to receive it in the right circumstances. So, as an example, sometimes I meet people who are praying and feeling like their prayers are never answered, and part of that is they haven't set up the condition for them to co-create with it, for them to bring their soul onto the playground. And that's where your creativity is. This is where your own personal alchemy sits. And we're going to work with that level today. You can see the light, the loving light that takes place, the special alchemy that takes place when you get unconditional love. And I mean that absolutely, where all things are acceptable and the love is still present. And the power of that light, and that meets the soul, you know, the part of us that is, you know, the soil of our soul, the parts of ourself that are ready to grow, possibly in seed state, possibly in a struggle state, but it meets together and then that garden begins to grow. Then the manifestation begins to take place. And even though we know our goal, and we kind of know we want more money, We need this pain to go away. We need to get this thing on track. We want everything to work a certain way. We're going to set that aside. It doesn't mean that we abandon it. It's that we set it aside and we go into the soul. So as your plumb line, as that line of energy of loving light comes into your body, you're probably going to see it around the belly, but it could be the heart. It doesn't matter so much where, but just let it emerge for you. This knowing or this visualization of an aspect of you that's ready to be touched today, the next stage of your manifestation growth. So our pain, our emotional pain, our physical pain is often the part that's leading the way in. And if we're overwhelmed by the pain, we're not going to find our way into the soul. It's going to be a distraction. But it can also be as we begin to let the overwhelm of the pain and the pain dropping from a 10 to a 5 or a 10 to a 2, we're able to kind of find our way through the resistance into where the part that's ready to heal, the part that the healing really makes a difference. So I will give you another example. As many of you know, I was at one time diagnosed with many, many autoimmune diseases. One of them started when I was a child. And when I had certain glands that were kind of frozen, that just didn't operate very well, and they caused me no pain because I had used some kind of magic on it. And so I didn't feel the pain, and I didn't really notice the dysfunction too much until it was time to heal it. And then I started to take the magic of the no pain away. And of course I began to feel it. And then I began to take the layer of my frustration as to why it never just magically healed when I wanted it to in the first place. And I had to go deep within that part of me that resisted looking at a wound that had been locked in there. And no matter how many wounds you have healed that have given you confidence, it doesn't mean that the next one you're going to heal will not take just a bit more effort, where you're going to go back to that innocent space, that innocent part of you that needs to go in and accept what happened and allow the healing to take place. And the healing takes place because we begin to use the inner alchemy. The soul rises to the occasion and begins to unfreeze, unlock, and begin to show you what needs to move in order to shift. And this is true for physical, and it's true for money, and it's true for making things happen in the world. It's the same energy. So after that happened, I was able to accept the fact that this was finally going to change. And it's humbling to realize that you can be so good and go and come so far, but yet there is one part of you that is still holding, locking, denying, resisting, kind of comfortable in the uncomfortableness of it, because that next step in is going to have another emotional revelation for you. And I want to say that I understand that's where many of you are. You have pressed the boundary of where you're comfortable, and now you're in that place where the bells are going off, the warning signs are there, and the pains are showing up. And if you let the pain, if you get rid of the overwhelm of the pain, it will show you the breadcrumbs of where you're going. It's going to show you where you're going to release. It's going to show you, you know, what acceptance needs to come in. And acceptance isn't a failure. It's just an understanding and a knowing. And it is a holding of a truth that perhaps we haven't been able to accept yet. Okay, so keep breathing. And I want to go back to that line of energy going right down your body. And this is where the loving light enters. And I want you to see that line as a straight tree. And if you follow down into the root ball or the roots of this tree, this is where all of the information about whatever you're working on, whatever you're manifesting, whatever you want to shift in your life resides. And with the pillar's help, we'll ask that the roots that are buried, the unconscious, the subconscious, these parts of ourselves that may be ready to reveal themselves and reveal their alchemy can surface into the sacred space within your body or right outside of yourself. You might set like a healing sanctuary out, you know, up for this. Allow the loving light to be there and allow the alchemy of the roots revealing themselves. And the roots can go to this life, another life, an ancestral life. And I would like to hold that energy for you as we just get a bit more of this soulful energy in, where the male and the female energy of you meet, where the divinity of the balance takes place, where the power within meets the power of the universe, where you accept the truth of who you truly are. And this is where magic happens. This healing space is beyond reason and logic. Logic really has no idea how to operate in this realm, and sometimes it actively tries to shut it down or to distract you. But also let that be aside and go in to the secret alchemy that's taking place. Within this alchemy, we do not need to know or to consider what other people have said to us. You know, sometimes we get prophecies or somebody else comes up with a reading for us. And just set that aside and get into this deeper, deeper truth of what is wanting to emerge within you, what is ready to reveal itself and what needs to be healed before it goes. The first thing I'm seeing as a group is like a crying child that felt like it had never been noticed or recognized. And so I'd like to add the energy of loving this part of you that perhaps has never been recognized. Sometimes we have an inner masochist, which is held back by an inner tyrant. And of course, all that plays in the outer, but whatever part of the polarity you're on, they may exist. So let's just stay with those two energies. We'll let the pillars assist us here, showing us what we need to see, letting go of what we're ready to let go of. Sometimes our pain or discomfort is what leads the breadcrumbs to where we're going. That's the part that leads the clues. You know, am I envious? Am I jealous? Is some part of me feeling like I just don't have what other people have? Am I angry with God? This is a big one for me, for not pulling through the way I expected it to. When we set aside the anger, we're able to see what's under it. Most of us are super good at protection. Some of us are so good at it, we can numb something beyond pain where it's unnoticed. Perhaps there's something raw under it. You'll let the soothing energy show up so that raw part can tell us. Those of us who've worked with me on the calls, a lot of us are going into these places where the inner work, the inner alchemy, the inner child is showing us exactly what it needs so that it can show up in an empowered way for you. And sometimes this is where our truth lies. This is where our empowered place is. It's not about patting the inner child on the head and saying, thank you for that clue. I'm going to go back to where I was. It's about allowing the integration of the inner power of the truth of your soul to show up for you, to give it space. There's a trust that needs to build up. You know, we see sometimes people use light or hyper masculinity and things can go awry. The soul is very aware of this. So the trust is built through loving light, where that unconditional love shows up with the light. So the light doesn't overpower it, where the good intentions do not shut it down. And through our history, you know, we've probably all read articles of someone taking a baby animal out of the wild. They think they're rescuing, but yet the mother's watching kind of in agony because, you know, the baby wasn't ever abandoned in the first place. We've also seen, you know, through religion where parents would trust their children into an organization that wasn't trustworthy, or missionaries would show up, you know, with this greater idea of how the world should move and how everyone should operate, yet that meant the soul had to go deeper into the background. And so sometimes, you know, this is where the good intention finds out the other side of the coin. And what's on the other side of your coin, what's on the underground in the soul aspect of you, is the one who knows. The one who knew exactly how to write, to walk the line with the soul and the spirit. But she's waiting for you. She's waiting for you to be able to accept the truth of what has happened, accept the lies that we told ourselves, as I did, where, oh, that doesn't hurt. I healed that. I went on. When in fact, I just numbed it quite well. So that's the truth that shows up. Your inner truth, your inner knowing. It's a lot of golden energy showing up for our sanctuary here. We're clearing out and purifying all aspects that are not yours, or scripts that are not yours to heal. I just got this image of this table with all these scripts on it, and there were one or two that really had something to do with you, and the rest we had just adopted. So those can just dissolve. This is where we learn the difference between an energy we can simply brush off, wash off, or no longer identify with, versus a deeper solar a deeper soul aspect of ourself ready for recognition and emergence. Some of the emails I've gotten, it's like it's a circular problem. Like the logical circular problem keeps coming round and round and round. And where is the God? Where is the magic that's going to fix this? Well, this is where it is. set aside that circular problem and be willing to go into this. And let the root show you where your root is and what needs to shift. What magic it brings. And this is where some of you talk about the fairies in your life, the angels in your life, the nature in your life, the animal spirits in your life. Take that deeper. Live with it longer. Let it continue to show you. This is your magic showing up for you. Some of you don't see that at all, and that's okay. You're in that space where you're opening up to the feminine divine within. And if you're an artist, and an awful lot of you are, there's a lot of good stuff in there. And if you're a money maker, there's stuff in there because this energy sustains you. This energy is what helps your life force work in harmony with your goals. This is the energy that's going to keep you going, not in a hyper masculine go, go, go way, but in the gentle engine behind it all that keeps things running. Breathing. A question you might ask is, if I was holding myself back, why would I be? Where is that? If I have a sense of needing to rest and hold back, how did that pattern form? Where did that come from? If I have a sense that was abandoned, where can I touch that part of me that feels abandoned? What's hiding my dependable energy? What's covering it up? The realm of the roots, if you watch roots, they grow with intention, but they're all different directions. And sometimes they're in a ball and they straighten out. And sometimes we let them tame out. We allow the roots to go where they need to go. We allow them to show us what sustains us, what needs more energy. What did we forget to let loving light in? Where does the air need to go? Anything about roots, my mother came from a farm family, so did my father, but my mother taught me to garden when I was young. And the first time I planted radishes and carrots, I couldn't stand the weight. I just couldn't stand it. And when I saw the green come up, I wanted to go pull them and see what was under there. And my mother just could not understand that, having always grown up with timing and waiting, and she just thought I was a little awkward. So I waited till she went in once, and I pulled one up, and this very tiny carrot was on the other side, and I felt this horrible remorse that I pulled this carrot before it was ready. And I wanted to put it back. And she came out, of course, as mothers do, and said, you know, you can't really put that back. You rip the roots. You rip the roots before it's time. And so my magical part had combined with, you know, my magical thinking part had combined with my sense of urgency, my sense of I want it now in my time without letting it really grow first. And some of you are in that, where you have this huge need to see what's on the other side. And if it's not showing up for you yet, just allow the inner light, the inner loving light, to continue to feed the roots. Let the roots go where they need to go. Let them get the sustenance within. Let the soul show up for you, just as the soil was showing up for my carrot, and let it continue to grow and sustain. And then when it is ready, it's going to be obvious. There won't be an inner part of you that thinks maybe it's too soon. There won't be a part of you that's confused on the timing. It's just going to show up. And you know that when carrots get ready to show up, you can sort of see them growing a little bit above the ground. They begin to emerge. And this is, you know, this is the magic of how all of this works together. Your soul is timeless. And so as we nurture it with loving light, it begins to show up in its own time. It's strengthening. It's bringing the resources to bear. And how do we make it happen faster? We tend the garden. We tend to the soul's needs. We love the part of ourselves that feels abandoned. And that's no simple task, because if someone didn't love you the way you needed to be loved when you were young, you don't really have a template for it. And where do we get our template? Where do we get the grids? Where do we set that up? Well, we find that right in the sanctuary we're talking about. The roots are finding a way. The grids are being built to show you where the energy goes. The universe provides, and we allow it to enter the garden of our soul. And so allow this to continue to be there for you and revisit it. Come back, you know, once a day for 30 days and just continue to let this part of you grow. And as you grow the inner resilience, because this is it, the things you make in the outer world are going to be more vibrant. They're going to be more sustainable, and you're going to have the resilience within to hold it together. Okay, keep breathing. So I want to talk about the inner punishment. Many of us punish ourselves, like we didn't do it the right way, so therefore I will be denied. Who's denying you? I'm going to tell you who's denying you. A part of you is denying you. Sure, the world will give you all these reasons why, but once you get this resilience going, once you get that resilience there, you're creating your own path. It's just a past path that you're feeling. So if you're trying to follow the past, a path someone else built, go ahead and let that dissolve. There's really no place in this magical, alchemical grid building, manifestation building for someone else's path. It's going to be your own. So let all these things dissolve. Let all those dissolve. They don't have a place here. Of course, we learn these things from parents or teachers. We could call those spells. So let's go ahead and let those go out of our pillars. Okay, everyone, I'm going to go ahead and take a few questions, but I have an announcement. We're going to repeat this call on the 31st. I think that's Halloween. And I was just informed this neighborhood has children that get busted. So I'm going to work that out so I can be on the call at the time. But I'm also going to add another, just something else for that call. And I'll do it at the beginning. So if you're listening to this and you don't really have the habit of listening to the second call, you can tune in. And we're going to talk about vampire energy in hopefully a little bit of a humorous way so that we can kind of use the fun of the date. All right, let's go to our board and see who's here. Now, if you are still in process, please stay there. Don't let anything interrupt here. Here we go. So to put up your hand, it's star 2. And anyone's welcome to put up their hand here. Okay, Dan, you're on.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It was a wonderful meditation. It's awesome. I did some healing work with a friend of mine, energetic work that he worked on, and we were working on money and self-love, and it really brought up a lot of things, a lot of insecurity the next day I felt, and just to release, and it really hit me in my, I don't know if it's my lung or my liver, on the right side and even on the left side. So I mean, it's just really sore and it's hard to stand up straight, without pain. I did a liver cleanse this morning to help start to heal it too. And I've been working with emotions last night with it as well. But it's better. It's getting better. I just don't know what the source is, it feels very deep though, deep clearing.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we do with the insecure part? Because the insecure part, we're working on put a cleanse in, do this, do that. It does feel more liver-like to me. Let's go to that insecure part that came up, because that still isn't quite patterned. When you're in your roots, go into your roots again. Tell me where that insecurity lies. Tell me what it requests. Tell me what it needs from you.
Okay, so there's it's almost like a terror kind of feel, insecurity behind it, like a really fear. That's what I feel behind it. And the fear is just, I feel frightened, And, my dad comes up. I feel that. And it's almost like
what's
being
under
alone.
The frightened? Okay. Okay.
Feeling alone.
Good. Now tell me about what the alone needs or what's under it.
Sadness.
Okay.
I mean, when I tune into the loneliness, alone feeling sad, there's sadness there.
When we have these alone places, sometimes there's a bit of a resistance to the light, the love, a true acceptance there. It's like pushing away and yours sort of feels like solid. So what's under there? Go into that sadness. What's under it?
Okay.
This is the part that's terrified to get what you want.
Well, okay, yeah, because it's very hard to tune into the feelings, but I know it's like a void. You know, I feel a void or a numbness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very, very afraid.
Okay. Well, we're there with it. Is there something that needs to drain off, or tell me what it needs, Dan? And I want to get you directed into taking care of this aspect of you. What does it need?
It feels like, I want to know that I want to say I'm strong enough, or I'm powerful enough, or maybe it's just a sense of peace, even. Love. You know,
yeah. Tell me what it needs. Yeah. Tell me what it wants to feel power and love and peace.
Feeling the sadness again, deeper sadness. Just to be, let's see. To be okay, or to be accepted, like, you know. Like, you know, I want to say the word okay, like I'm okay. So that means to me, it feels to me acceptance or self, which would be self. Or loving, or, you know, or maybe accepted as myself, right? You know?
You're good enough?
Yeah.
Okay, what's under that? Are you in the void again?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So the void is, of, you know, your inner divine feminine. Just rest there. So in this space, it's like, it's a little bit of an empty space. Right? But it's also where the growing happens. It's where the where matching, where the sanctuary resides, a deeper level of sanctuary. So this is where your very deep insights are going to come from. This is the planting ground. But you're not going to put things there. It's going to come out of it. So what comes out of it is going to be pretty amazing. But to actually let that happen, we have to be comfortable in that space. But look how much you cleared. You cleared quite a bit to get there. How are you feeling now?
Yeah, in my solar plex, in my heart area, it just feels very calming. You know, I feel very calm.
Is it peaceful?
Yeah, peaceful is a word. And I want to, part of me feels like, you know, I'm here and I'm just, I'm kind of looking, because I travel downward, so to speak, in energy, it felt in my soul. And I just want to say, I let go of all those other things. Those, it felt like all these resistances to this place.
Right. And then, you know? Does it feel powerful? Does it feel powerful?
Yeah, it feels like, yes, it does. It feels, I want to say I made it.
Yeah.
Feeling of, okay, here it is. You know, this is where I've been trying to go all my life for the last two
years. All your life.
Yeah.
And so this is where you feel that peace, that power, and that sense of acceptance.
Yeah, there's no, as I look outward into situations and circumstances around me, there's no attachment there. There's no expectation. There's no energy resistance to them.
Right.
They're just being, you know, like it's just there on both. And it's hard to describe, but it's very, very different than, you know, polarity, you know.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So where I feel it you've gotten is kind of beyond the have to's, the what's, and even the goals.
Yes.
So even the words and the goals don't exist here, yet, you know, this is where we get the fuel for all of those things. And we're not mining it. We're just allowing it. We're allowing it to assist, right? We're allowing it to assist. And this is a worthy place to visit frequently. And you did a great job, Dan. Thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you. Sherry, do I just be in this place? Can I create here? Can I, you know what I mean?
Let it inform
focus on
you.
Different. Okay.
Yeah.
Allow.
Let it inform
allow
you.
The word.
Allow. Because, because this is, so you've got all these pieces of all the visual and the goal, all that exists. But this is another power you're bringing to the table. And this is a deep power that's coming to the table. So the alchemy will arise from this.
That's right. Did you see how I clicked into my old habit?
Yeah.
Trying to make it happen. Just, hey, Dan, just allow. Okay, very good, Sherry. Thank you. That was awesome.
You're welcome. All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, that was pretty cool. All right. Margaret, you're on.
Hello, Sherry.
Hi.
Thank you. You know, I guess I'll talk a little bit in, in what I've been sort of thinking about. Well, I'm going to say that I can feel I was feeling really left out of this. I mean, I just felt like I just have this stuck place, and it feels like it's in my heart where I want to experience. But there were a couple things that I picked up on that I connected with, and one of them was basically I grew up in a church, and it was the best church, of course, my mom felt in the county, but still pretty oppressive, and that feeling like we all need to think alike and we all do this, and it wasn't what my inner heart was about, you know. I have found a church that I actually then kind of left the church, and I found a church that I like. So I kind of have used this language of the church, and apologies for anybody, but I've been feeling this feeling like I want to tell God what to do. And it's sort of in a way what your message was today. It's like, I want this outcome, you know, and instead of that thing of, where you were talking about the roots, I really like that image. I've been trying to let go of that and just connect with the love of God and God's love for me, and that direction, you know.
Right.
And so it's sort of, I've been like, wow, I am locked into what I want. I'm like, I do not want this, and I cannot accept this or that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to do that, but I got to this place, and I just have this
Where's
block.
The
you know, my well,
let's go to the block. Let's go to the block, honey.
My block is my heart.
Okay.
You know, I felt I was so in tune with everything when I was, I mean, and it was, a lot of it was pain.
Yeah.
But I felt all this beauty, and then it seemed like something happened. I'm not sure what, but I just got shut off.
Let's go there. Let's make the most of it. So let's go to the part that feels shut off and blocked. So sometimes to get groups of people to conform, we have to shut off some of the avenues of where they're individuals and where they have a divine connection. And so let's go ahead, and if there was a part of a pattern, a program that shut off your own individual divine connection, let's allow that to dissolve out of your field and all the fear surrounding it, that you might be rejected or banned or not doing it right. And of course, it's a paradox, right? We know what we want, but when we start, you know, when we notice that we're demanding, but we're not offering up the space for the new to come or to change, we're not willing to shift something within. And I know what that's like. I definitely have had my eye rolls towards God before. You know, we have to just take that breath and go one step deeper. If I had decided to give up my divinity to fit in, let's go ahead and dissolve that power that was over me. That's not the true me and not my true connection. Okay, I want you to feel into your heart. How's your heart feeling?
Well, it still just feels kind of disconnected. And what I thought of was, you know, at church wanting to say the right, it seemed like there was this thing we all feel, we all believe the same, and I could be, you know, I remember raising my hand and saying, well, I don't feel that, or I don't know. And then, everyone pray, hold their hands up if they want to be prayed for.
Yeah.
And I didn't hold my hand up. And they all said, oh, we need to pray for this one poor soul that doesn't feel like she wants to be prayed for.
Mm.
And then go into that, you know. And there was a lot of, but me wanting to be both myself and also be accepted.
Right.
So I do.
Because they're both
so much,
needs. They're both needs of the soul. They're both needs. So I want to go to this part that's letting go of other people's rules. You'll still fit in. You'll just fit in differently.
On the last call, may I say, I was talking about this bit of light that was coming in and feeling like I could enjoy this person. What I kind of realized was I spend so much time around people thinking, how can I be nice? How can I fit in? And how can, you know, I be kind to them? And how can I, you know, be the way I should be or something, rather than just enjoying them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's and I thought, wow, I need to just relax and enjoy people.
Well, I think your heart's talking to you, isn't it? The insights are coming up, the the knowing the rules you followed that maybe weren't yours, the conformity that didn't serve you, and the insights as to how to be at peace with yourself, at one with yourself, which is in your alignment with God, and the ability to fit in with people who accept you for who you are, as you accept yourself. Sending you love, Margaret. Congratulations.
Thank you. May I say one little thing that was going on with me this week? I had both good and, I mean, it was like I got 4 jobs, which there had been weeks, a few weeks ago when I hadn't had one. And I got wonderful tips. I got 2 bouquets of flowers sent home with me, a cake sent home with me. And they were like healing work, you know, like as a musician, mm-hmm. I was asked to play for somebody that had back surgery and was in pain, just to kind of be soothing. And so 3 of them, well, I played for a funeral. Actually, those are kind of meaningful. So those were all really blessed. And then there was a job I want so badly, and I thought it was mine. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to talk to her. And I was feeling kind of up, like feeling that feeling of being up again. And I sent a letter just real simply. I love playing there. I would love to play mm-hmm. for you. And mm-hmm. if this hotel is a daily or 3-day mm-hmm. a week gig, which would be perfect, I thought this is mine. Mm-hmm. And she'd originally come to me, approached me. And then I feel like maybe my energy of just being like, that mine, you know, of being mm-hmm. too much, maybe overwhelmed her. And she said, oh, sorry, I haven't kept you in the loop. It's going to start December, and I'll keep you in mind or something. But it felt, it had a different energy to it. And I felt, oh, she does, you know, it's a feeling.
Just give it space, honey. Just give it space. You know, you set your intention. You're on a good roll. You want to keep appreciating what happened. Be really grateful for all the jobs that came in. That will help build more jobs. And, you know, this is new for you, sending out, you know, knowing what it is. And so the more that you're just allowing, you want to get into that space of allowing, you're making room for what you want. And you like playing there, but you said what you wanted. I'd really like a job where I'd be there 3 times a week. And just kind of hold that. That is yours. Whether she puts you there is different, but you've declared what you want, and that's where you want to hold that and let that be in your heart, and the part of you that knows that you're going to continue to give that into that sacred place or into the universe to return to you. And I hope that makes sense. But that's how you clarify it and continue to purify it, because you're letting go of that part that owned it, you know, like owned it when she needed to match you. And then you're also just giving it a little bit more space. And sometimes we need to give things space for them to come back. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Margaret. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Anna Corinne.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for a beautiful process.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe you covered what I'm thinking about, but I was at a funeral yesterday, and mm-hmm. after that I went to buy groceries, and I'm very picky about what I eat. I think you know mm-hmm. that. And mm-hmm. I bought ice cream, and I was really sad, and I numb out when I eat. With what I eat and drink, I think. And I meditated on that. And I saw this part that was very sad, that couldn't get close to my feelings. And then I was thinking about how I use food overall, because food is not an easy thing for me. what I eat. Make something more about it. I don't know.
Do you use food to control your joy?
Yeah. When you say it, yeah. And
so let's look at that. When we is it like so disciplined that the nourishment that you don't actually feel the nourishment?
I try not to eat much, but I I don't know.
How about if, do you do this when you eat? Are you making it like a meditation or like a, you know, like a prisoner eating? I mean, are you able to feel the color, feel the life force come into your body?
Yeah. I'm very picky about what I eat, but when I eat something that it's really nice, like ice cream or candy or cakes or something, then I don't want to get in touch with my feelings. I numb out.
Okay.
And then
that's
I distract.
Right. So when you're eating, you know, carrots or radishes or a salad or something that nourishes you, you have this sense. But then, you know, I think if you are deciding to eat something, let that also be nourishment, even if it's joy, not just a numb out thing, or it becomes like, you know, like a drug that you would take just to numb out. You're using the food to numb. So oftentimes we use it to numb or to calm, like be quiet now, you know, like an emotion wants to come up, but or it's too exciting. And that emotion could be something good or it could be something scary. And then we use food to kind of numb that emotion because parents do that with us, not necessarily our parents, but we see it where you just give a kid some food and now they're quiet. And then you felt like you were the mom, but you didn't actually, you know, you didn't take care of the soul's needs. What you did is you quieted the child. And so that's probably where you're next in that, just sort of looking at different food and just notice, Anna Corinne, just sort of notice what's there. Is there a numbness that you want to explore now?
I meditated on it and I found the part that it's, now I'm okay with it.
Okay. So yeah. More will come. More is going to come with that. I see it sort of in the garden. So
yeah.
More is going to come with that, and that'll be good.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Much love. Bye-bye.
Much love. Bye. Thank you.
Okay. Area code 510. Hello?
Hi, Sherry. It's Johanna, I think.
Hi, Johanna. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. So, the manifesting element of my job, again, I'm coming back to that element of a pattern that I have where I'm in every job since college that I've had, I've in a nonprofit where the money is just so tight, and I'm wanting to go a little deeper into why that pattern for me and visions that I keep having of ways in which I can help attract money, but it just feels like that still is a void for me. I don't have it articulated right now, but I just need I would like some support now, helping me see what is that pattern for me? What am I fearful of a couple of your Facebook yesterday posts, you know.
Okay. All right, so breathe and clear. It feels so very personal. As if you've taken on the needs to completely save everybody, everything emotionally, on every level. Like if you don't do it, really bad things are going to happen to this whole group of people that you're trying to raise the money for. And the responsibility is tearing at you emotionally. I feel that to really get into the bigger numbers that you want to make, you're going to make peace with letting go of this personally and setting into a more refined way of doing it. So it's personal. And that story might still exist for some of the raising of it, but it won't be your story you carry. It will be the beneficiary that you're raising money for, like the stories of the children, the examples. That's what you're going to carry for it. I think you're in the alchemy of letting go of your personal need to make this happen and your terror of not being able to make it happen, and the disappointment of everyone around you if you don't make it happen, which I think is holding you back. Because when you're really in the flow of this, it's going to be easier and the money will be more. But you haven't set that burden aside. And so as you continue to refine that need to make it happen, to be the personal savior, and if you're not, the consequences of that, and get that super refined into the light. That light will shine brighter, and not just your light, but like it's like you carry a golden vertical energy that is like an antenna for the school you're trying to support. So, are you following me?
I'm completely following you. And I just feel very blind at, because I intellectually, you know, I don't feel like I, it just feels like, why, I just keep asking, why is it that I feel this need and take it on so personally, and why?
Yeah, well, that's
so
interesting.
So that I could let it go.
Yeah, so let's go back to our sanctuary where the roots are. And let's do this right now. So in the sanctuary where the roots are, ask them: is it a why? Is it a why? Is it a how? Or what is it you do? What is it you do to let the personal aside so you can let the magic happen? Where does that personal go?
Gosh, I'm coming up with a blank. I feel responsible that I'm a block. I don't know how to let go of feeling like I'm a block to things flowing.
Okay, that you are the block. Okay, I want you to fill into that and tell me what's under it.
It's a lacking. It's a not feeling my own worth. It's a not good in, you know, not doing enough. It's a not enough feeling. It's a lack feeling, and I'm cycling around to it again. I keep feeling like on so many levels and so many. For so many years, I've been trying to shed this feeling of lack, and it's serving me for some reason, and but it's not at all serving me. I don't know what.
Well,
at all. how to identify
it's pointing
it.
The way somewhere. So let's go to this. So the block, the blame, the lacking, the worth, the not enough. So there's a worth, a worthy aspect in this lack. So to make money, there must be a non-personal worthiness. So I want to go into the part that feels very personal about it and wants to hold you back. Okay, I'm gonna take you here, and you
Thank
go
you.
With me and interrupt me. So the non-personal worthiness is there. I mean, it's right there. But the personal, that feeling of I don't have it, or what if I can't, or is kind of pulling on it, tugging it, holding it back. So I want to go to the part that's holding it back and tugging. And she doesn't believe it. She doesn't believe she can or should. And I want to love the part that feels like she can, that she, those things that maybe she shouldn't, that maybe she can't. And let's go to where that comes from. What are you seeing or feeling?
It's flipped to a fear of receiving, like what almost a the block is actually a little bit in a receipt, you know, success. The receiving and the success, like almost like what that propels, the doors that that opens, the change that
mm-hmm.
that will bring.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's going to be, on the one hand, a huge relief, and on the other hand, just sort of a quick, an overwhelm of a different matter. And am I prepared for it? I don't know if that makes any sense.
Sure. Well, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but you will be when you get there. Okay, so let's go. I'm going to go deeper into the part that's tugging down and saying no.
Okay.
It's like she's saying don't play in that light. So I'm going to follow her down. She doesn't want to be seen or noticed. There's some shame.
I feel I haven't done a good job. I feel like I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I haven't done as good a job as I should have, and I've sort of had to put on a face and cover up things that I haven't done well, and I'm afraid of that being... that having a consequence, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've done my best.
Mm-hmm. You did your best. So you know you did your best, but some part of you is blaming that you could have done more, shaming and holding. I want to love that part that's shaming and holding and pulling you back. Ask her if she has some ideas, or ask her, go in there. What does she need for this transformation to take place?
I need that love. I need that compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple other people recognizing that I've done it, and I've done sort of I've held it together, and they're there to support now too, so I'm not
yeah.
alone.
That's right. Some part of her has felt rejected and held back, and you know, without the support, she's just going to say no. Okay, so let's get in there and just make sure that the love is there for her, that unconditional acceptance for everything she's experienced. And I see her, like, holding this big wound, you know, like this big, this kind of wounded matter. So I'm seeing two parts starting to emerge, the one that is sort of getting ready, and then the part that's holding the wound, almost like Santa Claus with the big bag of goop. So I'm going to turn that inside out and let that drain. So in here is a lot of ideas, a lot of potential, a lot of dead ends. You know, like she was carrying a lot of dead ends in there, letting all the loss go.
Okay.
It's like she stored all the losses and she was holding on to them, saying, this is too heavy, I can't keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we can rejuvenate after this clears. So what does she need to know how to handle the loss and disappointment? So she's more resilient. So I can see what you're saying, the desire for more love and support in there. And there's more. It's like she's got another ladder, a step ladder down.
It feels tricky. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
It feels tricky because it feels like only a couple people can actually join me in the support and not be shut down by the intensity of what the reality of it, of the need. Does that, how do I explain?
Yeah.
Not everybody is actually prepared to manage all that I've been balancing. And so that's why I've had to be so protective.
Right. It's a rarefied field to be able to make money for that many people for that much purpose is a rarefied field. Not very many people can handle the disappointment and not very many people can handle the big highs of it and the lift. And the lift will be different once we get this a little more aligned for you. I wouldn't expect other people to. Some of this you hold, but it's not, you won't hold it like a burden once we get it. I'm almost seeing like a ladder to the side and all these souls you're trying to save. So we need to reframe the saving of the souls business and free all of that's in there that's not yours to carry. You have a very definite job, and the souls you want to turn over to the light. It's almost like you're afraid if you don't get this done, all these souls are going to be buried and lost, and the opportunity will be lost, and the whole thing is going to cave in if you don't get it done in a short period of time, which is a bit like your experience. So I want to free all those souls, and because if we free them, you know, there's there's the invisible support.
Right. And I don't want to hold anyone back. I don't want to be a block for anyone.
You're not going to be. How are we getting the light in?
And I don't want to be, the word martyr just popped up really strongly. For some reason, I get this really defensive, but I'm not trying to be a martyr.
Right. So there's always an inner tyrant if we have a martyr. And we don't beat up on the inner tyrant either. It's just trying to control things and hold things together. Sometimes you just need a bit more love and a little bit more light in there. And then this rarefied field will begin to, what you're asking for is the grid system to be set up in this rarefied field. Why do I call it a rarefied field? Not that many people can fundraise at the level you're asking to. you're asking for a really big lift. You're asking from going from this personal care into this big lift. And they're actually two completely different personalities. So it doesn't mean you can't be who you were and care for people and worry about people and wonder about people and have a personal connection. But you're going to be putting on a different set of energy when you're really out in the community. It will be an overlay for this that's going to be. Okay. And so your personal that you take is going to be the stories that you're going to put together to explain why this organization deserves the money and that people should support it. And what do they get for supporting it? And how does it help the community? How does it build? And you're on a fine line here. You know, this is where our world is changing, where we're going to really get very specific in community building. And you're doing it on the forefront. So of course there's going to be more resistance, but you're going to do it.
Okay.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling lighter. I feel the energy just swirling and coming up from down and going through me and up. I'm not sure if
good. Yes, you're freeing the loss. The way you hold loss and disappointment is got to fundamentally shift. And that's what you're going to turn over. The roots might just need to be free of it. Or the roots might have a place for it to go for the alchemy to take place. Some will free, some will go into like an alchemical room where it goes through the shift and you're able to bridge those two aspects of yourself.
There's also just a smidge of, if you could just hang with me one more second to understand my, an interesting reluctance, but a knowing that there is an element of me claiming a truth to me. I am supposed to be where I am, like a life path. What's the word?
Purpose?
An authentic, like
that. Okay.
Go ahead. Take it from
no,
me.
No, authentic. So you're saying authentic? There's supposed to be, you're supposed to be more authentic?
Well, kind of this, we have our path, our life path, our journey that
sure.
is for us to do. And almost a me needing to, I landed there so indirectly, and that gives me this nudge, saying, not more than a nudge, like, this is where you're supposed to be. This is where your work is. Yet inside, in these 3 years, it has been so undefined and morphed, and I've sort of shaped it intuitively myself. And because I shaped it and it wasn't sort of declared or given to me, there's a little part of me shy. The word shy just showed up. Almost a wanting to, it is almost a feeling like I'm not stepped enough in because it hasn't, I made it, I wasn't given it. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
You're still making it? So you're talking about the inner and the outer alchemy. So as you develop, as you get that, the authenticity in that rarefied fundraising field, and you get the authenticity of the part of you that's learning how to hold loss and purpose differently, that will also reveal in a more authentic feeling in and out. Keep letting this, I'm calling it purification process in the last email, but it's actually moving toward authenticity, right? It's letting go of the burden that keeps you from being free. And you're doing it for yourself, but you're also doing it for the school. So, we're talking about your sacred thing that you've set up. You can also set up another sacred space specifically for the school and allow that to, and allow that to be a little less personal as it grows. And those, it's like you're building two root systems here.
Thank you. Yes, that's very helpful and clear. I so deeply appreciate your support.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Much love.
Much love.
Okay, we're going to go to Honolulu 808.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany, how are you?
I'm good. I'd like to thank everybody for, you know, their issues that they're bringing up. So it's making a lot of my, what I'm feeling, bringing up emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like there's a flux and resistance.
Okay.
Towards my financial goals and also being a mother, a good mother. Like I feel like my family, like when they see me moving forward, they want to pull me back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like they can be happy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, I've purchased programs and I'm always pulled to spiritual healing and stuff, but even for this program, I was drawn to you, and something told me to get this program, and
mm-hmm.
I was a little late getting started.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like your energies are good for me, and it can help me open the direction that I want.
Okay. All right. So let's go to that part of you that's happy for yourself, that feels inspired. Let's love that part. And you feel sorrow about your family?
Yes.
Okay, I want to love the part that wants to stay connected but knows that you're still going to need to grow and that they may be challenged to love you for who you're growing into. Sometimes our families are biggest challenge, but they're also the part that helps us kind of know where we are in our growth, or like the touchstone. So when we completely accept ourselves, then sometimes they start coming around. So I want to just, and sometimes not, but sometimes. Let's go ahead and love this part that feels sad, the sorrow, and that tension about pulling, that you have to pull away to be you. So it's like this magnetism. So I want to, you know, that like you're getting pulled back like a magnet. So I want to love the part of you that's ready to be free and grow, and love the part of you that is a daughter and a mother, and will love the family. All three parts of you. What are you feeling, Tiffany?
I'm feeling a little lighter.
Okay.
I feel a lot of sadness.
Yeah. And sometimes when we get a little bit of light, it gives permission for the sadness to come up. So that's perfect, because it's hard to move ahead when we're carrying the sadness. But we have to respect it. So we're just allowing that sadness to move. We all work on many levels at the same time. Our growth space, our space that we kind of held back, and our emotional space. And as we clean them out, our alignment becomes a little stronger, and we're able to create and be more. Go ahead.
Okay. And I feel like I get frustrated a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm becoming my mom.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that. You know?
Yeah.
I want to get so much more to my two girls. They're both, you know, mm-hmm. very loving.
Mm-hmm.
They have good hearts and they have so much potential, and I want to probably help them to be better than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that my younger one, I took care of my grandparents. And they passed away in 2006 or 2007, but my four-year-old always talks about my grandfather every day.
Mm-hmm.
You've never met them. And I feel like they have a connection.
Yeah.
But then I really miss them, you know, but I feel like my energies are being passed on to them, like my frustrations. Mm-hmm. And
right.
I don't want them to, I want them to be clear, you know, so they can
mm-hmm.
move forward and be good. And I like the fact that she feels she has a connection with my grandfather. She talks about him, but she knows him.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she misses him all the time. And I feel like if that's my energy being passed on to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't want her to feel like that.
Well, we can't
Sorry.
Avoid it. We can't avoid sadness, but we can teach, you know, resilience, and we can teach them how to manage and be who we are in those emotions and, you know, mm-hmm. continue to find that truth. So so I have a little bit of homework for you to catch up.
Okay.
When you write, I'd like you to write down the strengths of your mom that you don't want to be like. So your mom had strengths, and we can't always see those strengths because the resistance there. But I want you to kind of feel into, when you write this down, what you don't want to be like that she was like, and then kind of sit with that. And then mm-hmm. what is the strength that you inherited from her? Because when we reject the downside of somebody, we often also mm-hmm. reject their strength. And when we reject their strength, we also reject our own strength. So I think there's a little bit of healing work we can do with that. And go ahead and start writing that down and get that process doing. And you're welcome to take that to our Facebook page, and, you know, I'll support you with that. Well, it was a pleasure
you.
To talk to you, Tiffany. Okay. Much love.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Much love, too. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to go to Wisconsin 262.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I'm really enjoying this call. It's so deep, and I it's so good. I'm really relating to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad we're addressing, like, when you said the trees and the roots. I think that's like our root chakra, you know. So
mm-hmm.
these are issues that I've been really working on. So I guess the thing that I want to bring up is when I was a child, my mom was very narcissistic. And
mm-hmm.
I had this Italian family where everyone's very emotional and they all talked really loud.
mm-hmm.
And my grandma helped raise me, and I loved her so much. But what was going on is that my parents were teenagers, and my father was very he used to tease us. I had two sisters, and the oldest teased us a lot, and then, you know, like, put us down, so he thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a very sensitive, very sensitive, intuitive child. I it was scary, you know, just being growing up in the city of Chicago and with this kind of, you know, dysfunctional family.
Mm-hmm.
When I was five, like, I'm having issues now with you know, how I manifest. Okay, that's what I'm getting to. But everyone's going back real deep, so I kind of thought back to when I was 5 years old, where I actually was afraid to speak up. And mm-hmm. I had a situation, because my mom pretty much, you know, she really squashed me. She was always jealous and kind of, you know, really, I gave away my power mm-hmm. a lot because of her. And she was an artist, and I'm very, very creative. And I love to paint, and I always wanted to. And then the situation in kindergarten where every day, somebody was allowed to paint, and they had the easel set up, and so she would pick someone randomly, and people would raise their hand. She'd pick somebody, and then they would get to paint for about half hour, just, you know, without having to do any other activities. It was such a treat. You know, I'm like, I can't wait till I get picked. I can't wait till I get picked. Well, finally, it was the day I knew I was the last one, so obviously I'm going to be picked, and I was so happy. I went to school. I sat down and she goes, the teacher goes, who's going to paint today? She goes, and I'm waiting for her to say my name. And she goes, mm-hmm. It looks like we got everyone. Everyone had a chance to paint.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then I'm sitting there and I want to go, but me, you know, it's my turn. But I couldn't speak up. I froze, mm-hmm. like deer in headlights, you know. I just froze, mm-hmm. and I couldn't say anything. Go, how do I say it? I don't want to be like everyone else. And they jump up and they act like a bunch of monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Like this,
mm-hmm.
I can't do that. I'm trying to express mm-hmm. myself, and I couldn't. So I said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I
right.
never got to paint. Yeah. So I think this thing with speaking up and receiving and manifesting, you know, I have something I'm looking forward to, and then I don't. It doesn't come to fruition. Since growing up, same as a teenager and in my life, I think I have all this energy and creative energy, but then right when it's about to break through or happen or I can receive it, something seems to sabotage that or something, you know. And I still have a hard time kind of expressing myself, but I'm, you know, as an adult now, I'm much better and I've worked at it. But I was wondering if you see anything, if this is like a root chakra kind of a basic.
Well, let's look at this.
Grow.
So you mentioned your father belittled you. Of course, that can be a mm-hmm. bit inhibiting, especially when we pretend
yeah.
it's a joke. And then your mom, you said, was a bit narcissistic, and
yeah.
Also
yeah.
she was jealous. So those are mm-hmm. pretty powerful, potent squashes on our creativity. So let's go into that creative speak up part of yourself and see where she is inhibited. Now, what's operating there now? And it's, to me, it feels like the mom is the most, probably because, you know, female to female empowerment mm-hmm. and what does female empowerment look like? And you already mm-hmm. decided you didn't want to act like other people. You already mm-hmm. decided. So I want you to recognize this part. Some part of you is very powerful and so powerful you were able to be overlooked in a room full of children. So some part of you set that up where you could be the invisible one.
Okay.
And another part of you wanted to speak up and paint, but some very powerful part of you made you invisible. And I have that in my energy field too, and it's just so powerful. So that's the part I would talk to, the part of you that is a master at making you invisible and sheltering you from situations that might cause you to be belittled later or bring out the jealousy of the inner mother who could kind of really harm. So,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there's nothing like a narcissistic mother to kind of make you feel harmed. So let's go back
yeah.
to that invisibility cloak part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tap into that part, and please let me know how this feels to you, this is about safety. Being a little quiet, not speaking up, and showing who you really are keeps you safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I
right.
tap into
mm-hmm.
the safe part, it seems like 3 and 4 years old, she emerged early. She needed to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so I want to go to her, and I want to love her and thank her. Oh, my gosh, what amazing skill you have, making you invisible and keeping you safe, and ask her if she's willing to reveal the part of you that needs to be held safe. What are you feeling? What's there?
Pretty scared.
Yeah.
Speaking scared. Yeah, really scared.
Yeah. Well, with that at risk, of course she'd want to protect, make invisible.
Yeah.
Hide.
Yeah, I just feel hiding. Yeah, like I feel
mm-hmm.
alone
okay.
and I have to hide. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put the love right into that part that needs to hide. So your invisibility part is letting you see.
Okay. I'm kind of seeing now it's warmer and I feel cold and scary and gray. I'm seeing kind of like a little orange. You know, a little light in
mm-hmm.
the tunnel where I'm hiding.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like a nice little safe little place. It's kind of warm and cozy and safe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm alone. Except for like fairies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nature. Yeah, I just feel like I'm not alone, but not like human.
You'll find when you work with this part, even no matter how terrified or frightened or hidden she is, there's going to be a lot of your power and magic that's been hiding out all this time. And she's not so wounded that she didn't learn a lot in that place of hiding.
Mm-hmm.
She learned she's got magic. She's got good stuff for you. And her revelation, her emergence will be as we accept her, as we love her, as we let her tell her story and tell you what she needs. And when those needs get met, she's going to be a pretty important, refined part of your energy. And I imagine she'd be the one sitting in the room that everybody would notice without her saying anything, because she's been practicing it for a long time in the dark. So these hidden parts of ourselves and in the deep roots, there's a lot going on, just like those carrots underground. There's a lot going
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
you
I was thinking about the
carrots. You may not know it, but there's a lot going on. All right. So this is what you bring. Every day I want you to visit, thank the guardian, right? The one who hides, the one who's the invisibility cloak for letting you in. And then also thank the hidden part who hasn't been seen in all these years. And then ask her what she needs. Ask them each what they need. And you should see changes every day. And I would tend to it, a good 30 days is a good, pretty good rule. Sometimes it will magically happen. But then another part will come up and another layer will come up. But, but put some attention there. It's worth the 30 days. It's worth the getting in there and letting it grow. As this often happens, is when this clears, it will integrate and it'll come completely into your alignment and it'll be a working system. And then the words will flow better from you when you need
good.
To speak up. When there'll
yeah,
be less fear.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be less fear. Yeah. Thank you so much for your question.
Can I ask you one thing? She's asking, could you give her a present, like, she wants a unicorn.
You need to give her the unicorn.
Unicorn.
Give her the unicorn. I'll support you.
Oh, there
give
she
her
goes.
The darn
okay.
unicorn. Yeah. So she might just
yeah.
need to be flying about on that thing for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
And then every day, what does she need? Mm-hmm. Unconditional
mm-hmm.
love, unicorns, blankets, lollipops, whatever it is. Just give it to
yeah.
her. And that's how you're building trust. And that's how she learns that you will, that you're going to be there for her. And then the gifts show up. These are the parts of ourselves that can make us ill too. So it's always worth investigating and being with and taking care of, Una Hapili parts. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay. Sherry.
Hi. Sherry in Sacramento?
Yes. Hello.
Hi, Sherry. I did the exercise. As you said, some people might have a hard time, like get distracted, and I did. I had a hard time with it, but I still know that I was doing some of it. I still know it's having an effect because I felt, various emotions and whatnot. And I'd had certain imagery, and the imagery that stuck, that stuck the most was the when you asked about inner child stuff, and the imagery was a corner and darkness, and I really, I mean, I could put myself in it, but it didn't come with myself, you know. I could put myself there, I could make it happen, but it didn't come, and so I just didn't know what to do with that. I thought probably I'm supposed to be working with that some more, so I just wanted your comments and suggestions on working with that.
Okay, so you saw a corner, inner darkness, a part of you. Did you see a little piece of light or an inner child? Tell me what you saw or thought.
So I saw just like some, maybe like a blocks or something like that. And again, I could put myself there. So now that I'm thinking about it, maybe blocks or blocked energy. I don't know.
Okay.
Again, I could put myself there, but that's not what I saw.
Okay. What did you see?
A corner. Darkness,
okay, corner. Okay, got it.
Darkness and a block, or maybe more than one block. I'm not really sure, but like a
okay.
block.
So go there again, and then let's apply unconditional acceptance for what we see, and see what happens next. And that's a loving acceptance. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I just see a crying child.
Okay. Let's go to the crying child. Is this you?
Yeah, it's me, and it sometimes it's crying, and it's just kind of from crying to just kind of like hopeless, like despondent, like, you know.
Okay. Yeah. How old?
Maybe about 2, something like that.
That's very young.
Yeah, and it's hard to even see because, like, it's not like a real, very little, very, very little, yeah.
Okay, it's loving her. Is she laying down? I mean, I had this image of this wide-eyed in the dark little girl.
Kind of sitting or not, I didn't see. I mean, she could be, but when I had the imagery, it wasn't even, it's just weird. It's not even like a full person standing up, if that makes sense. Not fully formed.
Okay. Well, let's apply love. And not a fire hose of love. You know, I mean, a fire hose is fine, but sometimes we throw so much light on something, it's scary to these parts. So you want to use a little bit of a full unconditional love, but a little bit of a light dimmer, so you get just the right amount that can be acceptable in any situation. Okay, so I get the feeling that it likes to be surrounded in warmth, almost like an energetic hug and holding.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Like there's a response, like I got recognized. Oh, I can feel this warmth. A little shoulders relaxing. What does she need?
Well, she does need to be held.
Yeah.
And she needs attention.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs
what would she like? What would she like for the attention? Noticed?
Yeah, noticed and seen with, like, clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And acceptance, you know, warts and all.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's a good one.
Yeah. And, you know, I think just for her, just like how, you know, just playing with her, just, like, just, you know, giving her attention, like, just giving her attention.
Yeah, there's a starved quality to this one. I feel she's thrilled she was found. And you're going to know that more and more the more you work with her. And just listen to what she needs and what let her prompt you. And that's where the growth is going to happen. And I know you're a logical person, so you'll feel, kind of see how that vibrates through the whole life. But there will be a vibrancy that comes back as she grows and matures. And you'll find, just like when we were talking about Deborah, even though she's been in the dark, there's a lot she knows, a wisdom she has you know, it won't just be like you're taking care of this needy person. She'll be adding something to your life as the trust and the bond forms.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Okay. Jayshree. Hello.
Hi, Jayshree.
Hi.
Hi. One of the things that I'd like to shift is the dynamic between that appeared after my dad's passing in relation to my mom and brother. The relationship completely changed. And while I was on the call, I felt a pain in my right hip joint. And, you know, it suddenly cleared. Two things that also came up as we were working with others is that, on the one hand, I feel like I'm afraid of earning because they are, my mom is representative of people waiting in the wings for my earnings. And then the other thing that as we work further, it's like I've been on pause waiting for my brother to grow up.
Okay.
So these two things, and also just not understanding the complete shift in dynamic, you know, in my relationship with my mom and dad, mom and brother after my dad's passing.
Okay. Okay. So I can't hear you completely clearly, but are you saying you're still waiting, that you've noticed you're waiting, or you're noticing they're waiting?
Okay. So I'm noticing that there's a part of me that's afraid to earn because they are
afraid to earn.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they are, you know, there's always been someone in the room waiting to take my money.
Okay. Because if you earn it, then it will get just taken from you, and that will be heartache.
Yes.
Okay. So it's fear, but it's also anger. It's angry that they, you know, need to take from you when you feel like you don't have enough yourself. Like it's like a not enough for anybody and everybody, and I'm kind of exhausted. So we want to love that part that's building her energy and her boundaries back up. Is it possible to have graceful boundaries in these situations where you don't feel like you were ravaged financially, like eaten by wild animals? Let's go ahead and love this part. You know, I think we went through this in a call. I'm not sure if it was this call. I do a lot of calls. But I want you to see yourself in the circle, like the circle of the pillars. And when you're holding that sense of making money, I want you to put a pyramid above that. So it's kind of like a protective geometry. And your earning potential is protected in there. Because in the way that this part of you thinks, it's taken before it can even form. You know, you haven't even gotten the check to in the old fashioned way, getting the check to the bank before someone takes it from you. So there's never a sense of being able to be generous if you chose to be without someone's needs coming before your own and you being the authority on what to give and what to keep. And so I want you to look at that balance between what do I give and what do I keep, what feels right to me, what doesn't feel right to me, how to say yes and how to say no, and clear all the past. Because it feels like, you know, almost like a vampired kind of energy, and you won't have a clear place to make money if that's in the way. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So we're allowing that purification to take place within the circle and the pillars and like a pyramid over it, where you can build your strength without this. And as you build the strength, you can start seeing them connect to their own higher authority for their own financial. And if you're prompted to give, you can give, and you can give freely rather than feel like it was taken from you, that you were devoured, you were used, you're just, you know, so all of that needs to go. That's all in the personal realm, and that requires loving these parts that have felt abused and used and not respected. Does this make sense? There's some part of you that feels not respected in this, disrespected.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to love her, and under it there's a lot of anger, and you turn that anger on yourself. So write that out, feel that out, and love that part that's just really mad about it all. And under that, she's very sad that she's been disrespected and taken for granted. We're letting the energy get in there now. Okay, I'm going to take this another step for you. One of the reasons you haven't healed those yet, is because, you know, even though she works against you, it's almost like you use it as a punishment for yourself and a punishment for them. So go allow yourself to know those layers so they can dissipate, so they can collapse. And this is not, everybody has a little bit of this, so don't feel like this is only you. All of us have found these parts within ourselves where we punish ourselves, punish others by limiting ourselves. Here we go. She's just feisty mad. Can you feel her?
Mm-hmm.
And your control of her keeps her whole, you know, her hold on you. So sometimes I use a technique where I turn that inside out so it all has to, you know, all the venom in it just can can dissipate, and then we can get to the one that just feels so wounded that she needed to create that. You'll get a lot more physical energy too. You know, all the ways that you've twisted your life to fit in all these dysfunctional ways. And as you disable each one of them, then that alignment really shines, and that's when you'll start making things happen very quickly. Can you forgive yourself for all that?
Yes, I can.
Good.
I'm ready to.
Good, good. That's wonderful. Sometimes the forgiveness for the journey we chose is the most work, because, you know, we hold on to it like an important journey, which it has been, but then we have to forgive the twists and turns that we took. And in the big picture, it's all just part of our hero and our heroine's journey. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. I'm going to take one more caller because we're getting kind of past our time. We're going to 561.
Oh, Sherry, thank you so much. This is Kate. I'm so grateful for this call. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, lots of things have happened, and I need a little restart today. Yesterday I closed on the home, so that's really good, and it's my first home, and it's beautiful, like almost like too beautiful. You know, not too beautiful. I should be grateful, but it was so much trauma trying to get it. It was like all these energies going against, and Michael's just been in, you know, this state where he's not himself, or he has all this negative stuff coming up, and I really protected this home, and I had him sign some serious thing saying this is mine, and he doesn't have claim because I just want to protect it, and he threw like a fit, and it almost, you know, the whole thing didn't. Anyway, so it's done. He signed that. It's totally protected in my own stuff, but it's like so overwhelming. I just need to sort of reset and also really step back from this marriage, because I don't deserve this kind of like drama and just like so much. I don't know what's going on with him, but I just need peace and love. And I know it has to come from inside, but it's hard to be connected to someone who, you know, just yells and screams. And I know he's going through PTSD or whatever it is, but it's like, I don't know how much more I can handle, you know, of that energy. And I really saw it like, this is, it's confusing to me how it can be sometimes, how he can be so much of a light and loving, and then he just can change when he gets triggered. So
right.
I sort of need to step back. Yeah.
Both sides are true. Both sides are true. Okay. And all right. So let's go. You asked for stability. Let's go ahead and surround you by the 12 pillars and reset your alignment. 100% infinite potential. So, and then just clear out all the, so one of the things is when he goes into his reaction, you start, you kind of cave, so your energy caves in a bit. So I'm going to kind of fluff that out a bit so you're not as protected and reactive.
Yeah, I feel like my body, like, I mean, I was trying to like he banged the door on my arm, he was trying to run away from signing that thing. And so it was just a lot of like physical drama. And it's like, I don't want that in my life. So I really need to step back and just clear that within myself, like all this chaos and all these things of just like, I just want to really heal anything from childhood that's creating. I mean, it seemed like so many energies were of like, I don't know, just dark energies were trying to stop that thing. I mean, even when I went to go meet the closing agent, she forgot the papers and the keys, and it was like just so much. And I don't know whether it is just these dark energies or something in sabotaging within myself or Michael. So I just want to disconnect from him, and I don't, you know, like I was trying to just disconnect all vows or contracts or soul things or anything, and just I just need to
today, like, he's away and I'm still at the condo at the beach, and I just want to just reset and really look at my life and say, I want to create a peaceful, stable life filled with love and joy. And the other thing was I wanted to make this property into like a church where all different like religions and, you know, people who believe in God or don't, or you know, or anyone who believes in God can just come and, you know, have all these ideas and projects I want to do. And then I even made a whole corporation, a nonprofit, the other night, stayed up a whole night and did it and got approved by the state of Florida. And then I found out that the zoning of the house might not allow for a home church. And so I feel like that was the whole point of it. And I named it Unity in the Spirit after my great grandmother's book. And, you know, I was like, it felt so beautiful. And now I'm like, oh no, I mean, maybe there's a way around that. And there's sort of things, but I'm sort of like overwhelmed at this huge, it's like a castle or a mansion. I mean, it's meant for like a soul, beautiful family or something, not just for me alone, but I am just alone right now. So I just need to be strong. And like, I get scared of even the electric bill and the water is so expensive. And I just rent it out for a few months. I can travel, but at least I have that foundation of a home, which I've never had.
Okay. Okay, take a breath and let's get the foundation that you're seeking in the outer that you manifest in this house within.
Yes.
So all the ways that you feel good about that place, you know, let the zoning go for a while because you're going to make this big within. So this is like a castle within is what you're talking about, and a place where all the aspects of you that feel disintegrated have a place that they can come together. I'm going to make this very personal. This is a pretty good thing for everybody. We'll end with this. So everyone, I want you to have that sense of whatever that is, being in nature, being in a church, being in a castle, being in your pillars, and allow the aspects of you that need that solace and that unconditional love to show up. So there can be a unified field.
Yeah, I really want to make it church. Like a castle doesn't feel good. Like a church feels better. A castle feels
sure.
Better.
Okay. Call it your inner church.
Yeah.
So your inner sanctuary, what we've been working with.
Yeah.
So your inner sanctuary, you're going to have that. So it's peace and health and well-being. We're loving.
I just want to let go of all the struggle, and, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were growing up with a father who was not dependable emotionally, and you know, we often unconsciously marry into similar patterns, and it's the soul's way of bringing us what we need to heal. So I want you to love this part of you that was reaching out for love in the way that you imagine it and found love in the way that you had it before, but it also gives you an opportunity. So within the sanctuary, you have a part of you that was seeking love in a certain way. We have a part of you that had your mother and your father and the love that you could or could not feel from each of them. You have the destiny of a financial inheritance and the way that you're using it, and all the little child parts of yourself showing up, all the parts that need recognition and want to assist you, and all the parts of you that said, I can't do that. I can't do it that way. I need to do it this way. And allow all of that to kind of be together in oneness. I think you're on the verge of being able to get a lot more insight pretty soon. And there are ways that you've thought of love that are going to open up into different ways of thinking of love, maybe a little more open with the rules. You know, one of the things we've talked about in the call is the rules that we set up for love that we inherited or were given to us. And those can soften and grow and become more refined.
And can you help me clear a little fear? Like, I this has just taken so much. It just was a lot more. That, like, the stock, that polarity stock completely crashed. And so I've lost a lot of money, and I have to help the company, you know, gain back. And on Wednesday, I have to have an answer in this court of Boston, or I lose almost all of my father's Apple stock and things like that, because these people put in a sneaky motion and I haven't even had a chance to get a lawyer, and then the house in Nantucket are just chaos. And so it's like today I just need to regroup and find that myself, but also take action. Like, it's like I need to relax, but yet there's still these sort of not attacks, but it feels like I feel fear from those things because they're big. But if I can just stay calm and just get a lawyer, get a realtor in Nantucket, just let go, like, you know, of just like align with people I can trust, then I'll be okay. It's a little scary right now.
You need a good attorney, and you don't want to put it off. You know, you can't miss deadlines with this sort of thing. Okay, so let's go ahead and love you to attract what you need. Sometimes
if I stay in your victim, it's not going to help. You know, I need to just step. I'm like, okay, I have a foundation of a home. I have stability within myself, so I can manifest that on the outside. Or that's my goal. You know, to feel that
right.
security and safety inside.
Yeah, you have a pattern of seeking that and not taking care of the past, the big responsibility. So it's like the avoidance of the responsibility. So now you're kind of at that crossroads where you will go in and handle that. That's your next step, to do that with as much tranquility and knowing that you can. And you're going to be asking your wisdom to show up for you. I think this all goes back to being able to accept your father's strength, which he's given to you through these inheritances. And heal the part of you that felt wounded by him. And this is how we end up rejecting something that is a strength from another.
And can I go to, like, I didn't even sleep at the house last night because it was all dark, and I'm still at the condo. Like, there's no, like, energy in that house because it was someone who was depressed and alone there. So, like, is there any energy just to clear from there so I can kind of go later and just feel peaceful? Or if I just bring some sage and just kind of
claim it? Yeah, I think you can go claim your house. Yeah, just go in the daylight and, you know, just try not to burn your carpet with sage, as I've watched that happen a few times. Go ahead and just love your house. And
no carpet, there's nothing. I think there's just a bed.
Yeah, well, there's something there. And all the rooms and all the corners. And ask, you know, well, you're going to be needing to draw strength from the sanctuary to go handle the unfinished business, and to handle that. So that this works in your favor. All the other avoidances have not worked to handle this. So you're going to have to go straight into it, head on, and nobody can be you're going to have an attorney that will help you, but you're going to have to be there. You're going to have to show up and do the best that you can with this. Okay, keep breathing. Okay, Kate, that part of you that accepts like a victimized situation, you need to come to terms with her. What some people call the come to Jesus moment, where you go to this part of you that has the, that causes things to turn out not in your favor financially or with other people. and you start seeing them as the bully and the one who's manipulating you, while there's some very powerful part of you that keeps setting this up. So I want you to love that part. Pull her into your sanctuary and just love her, because she likes to fight, and she doesn't often know the good advice from the bad advice, and she gets that pretty confused. So she's like a rebellious teenager who doesn't care how much destruction she causes in her need to recreate things the way they were in a dysfunctional way. So I would be loving her every single day, because I think she's the one that kind of has been getting in your way to getting things the way you want them. She's about 13.
That was a hard time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was feeling her power, but she didn't have the wisdom to let things happen in. And, you know, at 13, we kind of think we've got our whole lifetime to redo everything. We can lose it and gain it, lose it and gain it. She doesn't really have an understanding of consequences. So we want to love her. Almost all of us have one of these parts, the part that's tough on us.
It's like a sabotage kind of, right?
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. And you don't recognize it. It always feels like the right thing, you know. So the more that you love her, who's, you know, part of the chaos, part of the avoidance, part of the going in the opposite direction for what works. Keep loving her.
I kind of let my higher self take care of all of us a little bit more. Like all the
beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Let the higher self love. Let all the love come through that channel and hold her in her sanctuary. Can you do that? And, you know, we can do some private sessions if you need while you walk through this, but it's the time to walk through. It's the time to take care of business. All right.
Yes.
Much love to you.
Thank you so much. So much love. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. All right, everyone. Take some big breaths. I really appreciate your participation. We had an extra long call today. Everyone was really fabulous and going deep and seeing themselves in wholeness. So we're going to ask the pillars and our alignment to help bring us into more and more alignment, more and more wholeness. And more unconditional love and acceptance. Allow that to get into the deep spaces and the crevices and the hidey holes and around the corners that we all create in our consciousness. Very good. All right, everyone. I'm going to put us on interactive and we could say goodbye. Ahui ho, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Much love.
Ahui ho.
Ahui ho.
Bye.
Ahui ho.
Many, many blessings.